Okay, so picture this. It's 3 in the morning. You're completely exhausted, but you have to check on your base in Clash of Clans one more time. Sound familiar?
Oh, yeah.
Mobile gaming.
Yeah.
It really is like a force of nature. And when it comes to shaking things up in that world, nobody does it quite like Epic Games. You probably know them from the global phenomenon that is Fortnite. But behind all the battle royale hype, they've also been waging a different kind of war, a legal one, against those app store giants, Apple and Google. And this time, Samsung is caught in the crossfire. So buckle up, because today's deep dive is all about Epic's new lawsuit, their claims against Samsung and Google, and why this case could have ripple effects far beyond your next Fortnite update.
Yeah, so what's so fascinating here is that Epic is specifically taking issue with Samsung's auto blocker feature on Android devices, which basically, you know, throws up a roadblock, preventing users from easily downloading apps from anywhere other than the Google Play Store. Epic is arguing this goes way beyond just, like, security. They're claiming it's a deliberate attempt to stifle competition and limit what you, the user, can even do with your own device.
And this isn't Epic's first swing at this particular pinata, is it?
Yeah.
Remember their big showdown with Apple a while back over similar issues?
Oh, totally. That one was massive, a real turning point in how we think about app stores and, like, who gets to control them. And while Epic didn't win against Apple in the end, the arguments they made about open access and fair competition, those have definitely stuck around. This new case against Samsung, it feels like an extension of that whole fight, but with a twist. You see, unlike Owl, Google technically does allow something called sideloading on Android, meaning you're not completely restricted to the Play Store.
Yeah, it's like Google left the back door unlocked, but then Samsung came along and put a padlock on it. At least that's what Epic is saying. But here's where it gets really interesting. Google's response has essentially been, hey, that wasn't us. Don't blame us for Samsung's security settings.
Yeah, it's true. Google has been very, very vocal in distancing themselves from Samsung's decision to go with the auto blocker. In fact, their spokesperson even went on X, you know, formerly Twitter, to call Epic's claims meritless and dangerous. Those are some pretty strong words. And this is where the whole debate about sideloading really heats up.
Okay, so let's break the sideloading thing down a little. For those who maybe aren't totally familiar, it basically means you can download and install apps from sources other than the official app store, right?
Exactly. Think of it like getting your music from a local record store instead of, you know, a giant online platform. It can be great for discovering new and independent artists. But of course, it comes with its own risks.
Okay, so let's unpack those risks a little. Google seems to be implying that sideloading is basically an open invitation for hackers and malware to, like, take over your device. So how much of that is legit concern? And how much is just them trying to protect their turf?
Well, honestly, I think it's a bit of both. Google isn't wrong when they say sideloading can be risky. See, app stores, while not perfect, do have security measures in place. To try and weed out those potentially harmful apps, they scan for malware, they check for privacy violations, and really, they just try to ensure that what you're downloading is the real deal, not some imposter designed to steal your data. But when you sideload, you're essentially bypassing those safety nets. And that can be a gamble.
It's kind of like crossing a busy street, right?
Yeah.
I mean, sure, you could just dart across wherever you want. But using the crosswalk is generally a safer bet, even though it takes a little longer.
Yeah, that's a great analogy. And, you know, to be fair, for most people, most of the time, sticking with official app stores, that's probably the safest way to go. But this is where things get a little more nuanced. Because there are legitimate reasons why someone might choose to sideload.
So it's not just about, like, super tech-savvy developers.
Mm.
Or people who just want to stick it to the man.
No, not at all. For some people, sideloading is about access. Like, imagine living in a country where certain apps are banned or censored. Sideloading could be a way to get around those restrictions. You know, access information, connect with the outside world.
That's a really good point. It's easy to forget that, you know, our experience of the internet isn't the same for everyone.
Exactly. And then there's the issue of competition. I mean, one of Epic's main arguments here, and in their whole battle with Apple, really, is that this current App Store model, it's basically a duopoly, right? Google and Apple calling all the shots.
And they're saying that's bad for, well, everyone except Google and Apple.
Exactly. Epic argues that this lack of competition, it stifles innovation, drives up prices for consumers, and it just gives these App Store giants way too much control over which apps succeed and which ones fail. They're pushing for a more open model, where developers have more freedom to distribute their apps, and users have more choice in where they get them.
Which brings us back to Samsung. They're kind of stuck in the middle of this tug of war. Between Epic's vision of an open app ecosystem and Google's, you know, emphasis on security, where do they really even stand on all of this? It almost seems like they're trying to play both sides.
Yeah, Samsung's position is really interesting because they're walking a tightrope here. On the one hand, they rely so heavily on Google's Android operating system for their phones. Google is a major, major partner for them. And they definitely don't want to jeopardize that relationship.
Right. But on the other hand,
Samsung wants to be seen as a leader in innovation, in consumer choice. They don't want to be seen as just like a puppet of Google, especially now when people are so concerned about the power of big tech. And I think this auto blocker feature, whether it was intentional or not, it's put them in a really, really tricky spot.
Okay, so let's say for argument's sake that Epic wins this case. What could that actually mean for the future of Android, for Samsung, even for us, the users?
Well, if Epic wins, I mean, it could be huge. It could force Samsung and other Android phone makers to completely rethink how they approach app distribution.
Yeah.
It could lead to a much more fragmented Android experience where different manufacturers have totally different app store policies, some more open than others.
So instead of one giant Play Store, we might have a whole bunch of app stores to choose from.
Potentially, yeah. And while that might sound a little chaotic, it could also be incredibly exciting. More competition often leads to more innovation, right? Lower prices.
Yeah.
And just a much wider variety of apps to choose from.
And I think this is the big question. Would a more open Android ecosystem actually be safer or riskier for, you know, the average user?
That's the heart of it, isn't it? It's this classic trade-off. On the one hand, having more control over your device, being able to download apps from anywhere, that sounds pretty great. But on the other hand, it could expose a lot more people to potentially harmful apps, especially if those other app stores aren't as careful with their security checks as Google Play is.
So it's a gamble. And it's hard to say right now how it would all shake out.
Yeah.
What about the other side of that coin? What if Google and Samsung win and they convince the courts that Epic's claims are meritless and dangerous, like their spokesperson said?
Well, a win for Google and Samsung, that would likely mean things stay pretty much the same. The current App Store model, with its emphasis on security and control, that would probably remain dominant, at least for now. It doesn't mean things can't change. But it would probably slow down that push for a more open Android.
So, it sounds like we're at a real turning point here. On one hand, you've got this vision of a more open, maybe even a little chaotic, Android with all these different places to get apps. And on the other, you've got the Play Store, which we all know, with its focus on security and, you know, a more curated selection of apps. It's almost like choosing between, like, going off-roading versus sticking to the paved highway. They both have their perks, but also their downsides.
Right. And that's what I think makes this whole case so important. It goes way beyond just the legal stuff, you know, or some corporate battle. It's really about a much bigger question. What kind of digital world do we actually want to live in? One that's super open and flexible, even if it means a few more risks, or one that prioritizes security and knowing what to expect, even if it means less freedom?
Yeah, I mean, this feels bigger than just our phones, doesn't it? It's like we're seeing the same debate play out everywhere in tech, social media, AI, even that whole metaverse thing.
Mm-hmm.
How much control should we, the users, actually have? And how much are we willing to give up for, like convenience or safety?
Exactly. You've hit the nail on the head. This case, it's like a tiny example of this much bigger conversation about the balance of power between these huge tech companies and us, the people who use their stuff every day. And honestly, it's a conversation that's only going to become more important as technology becomes, you know, even more intertwined with our lives.
So as we start to wrap up this deep dive, what are some key takeaways, some things our listeners should keep in mind as they're navigating this constantly changing digital world?
Well, I think the most important thing is to just stay informed. You know, pay attention to what's happening in the news, and not just about this specific case, but about the bigger picture stuff. Tech regulation, digital rights, online security, all of it. The more you understand how all these pieces fit together, the better decisions you'll be able to make about how you use technology.
It's like they say, knowledge is power.
Absolutely. And beyond that, don't be afraid to question things. Just because something's been done a certain way for a long time doesn't mean it's the best way or that it can't change. If you believe in a more open, accessible digital world, speak up, support the people and organizations out there fighting for that.
Yeah, because like the only constant is change, right?
Exactly. And lastly, I'd say, try to approach all of this with like a nuanced perspective. It's not always about good versus evil or freedom versus control. There are valid points to be made on all sides of this. And usually the best solutions are somewhere in the middle.
So it's about finding that balance, between encouraging innovation without, you know, sacrificing security or privacy.
Exactly. It's tricky, for sure. But it's a conversation we need to have if we want to build a digital future that works for everyone.
Well said. This has been a fascinating and, at times, kind of mind-blowing look at this case. And it really does have huge implications. A huge thanks to all of you for joining us on this deep dive. We'll be back next time with another thought-provoking topic. And, of course, a whole new set of sources to unpack. Until then, keep exploring, keep asking those questions, and keep diving deep into this incredible world of tech.